I want to focus your thoughts tonight not only upon this whole passage, but specifically our text in verse 49. The opening words, and Jesus stood still. Christian, you should be studying the Word every day. And one of the blessed studies that perhaps you could think of is to look at the postures of the Lord Jesus Christ. The times he sat, the times he lay down, the times he stood. For there were many occasions recorded of when the Lord Jesus Christ stood. Oh, I trust tonight we know a similar experience as that that is recorded in Luke chapter 4, whenever we're told in the synagogue of Lazarus that the Lord Jesus Christ stood and he took the book and he opened the Word of God, that parchment there in Isaiah chapter 61, and he was able to say to them on that occasion, "This day is this scripture fulfilled even before you." Remember how he stood at the feast in Jerusalem in John chapter 7, and how he cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink." Can I remind you too that the posture of Christ is not only mentioned in the gospel? But remember how that the Apostle Paul, when he was exhorting his young son in the faith, that young minister of Jesus Christ, Timothy, to fight the good faith, fight the good fight of faith. Remember how in 1 Timothy 6, verses 12 and 13, he was charging his young son there, and he reminds him of Christ Jesus, who before Pilate witnessed a good confession, and I believe the Lord stood that he might witness that good confession before Pontius Pilate. You know what's most interesting? That it is in Mark's gospel that we have these words recorded, "And Jesus stood still." And the reason for that, men and women, is simply this, that Mark's gospel records for us Christ the servant. It's a unique gospel insofar that it does not begin with any genealogy. It just simply begins with the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many times throughout this gospel we see the word "anon" or "immediately" as the Lord Jesus Christ is seen to be tireless in his ministry and in his obedience in fulfilling the Father's will. But yet it is in this gospel we read the words of our text in verse 49, "And Jesus stood still." I want to leave three very simple thoughts with you that even the littlest in our meeting tonight will be able to understand. I want you to notice firstly when Jesus stood still. And that's recorded for us in verse 46. "And as he went out of Jerusalem with his disciples." And the Lord Jesus Christ had approximately 16 miles to travel between Jerusalem. Christ was on his last journey to Jerusalem. For this was his journey to the cross. He was going on that most momentous journey in history. He was going to drink of that cup and be baptized with that baptism that was prepared for him by the Father. He had steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. We often quote it, and it's true, for that's what it literally means. He set his face as a flint to go to Jerusalem. And that is why in Luke chapter 9, you can read it for yourself a little later on, whenever they sent messengers that he might enter into the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, they did not receive him because they knew that his face was set to go to the cross. Never was a journey so more important, an errand so essential. Never was there anything that involved such weighty consequences. Heaven and earth and hell were all affected by this journey. The glory of God was connected with it, and the redemption of man depended upon it. And yet for this one man, the Lord of glory stood still. Maybe tonight I'm speaking to one, not necessarily in the building, but maybe over Facebook or some of the other media. Maybe tonight you think you're unimportant. Maybe tonight you can say with the psalmist, "No man cares for my soul." But I want tonight to show you one who cares for the individual. I want to show you a Savior tonight who is available for each and every one within the sound of my voice. Regardless of what depths of sin and despair you may have plummeted to. For I want you to notice they're able to say to Bartimaeus at the end of verse 49, "Be of good cheer, rise. He calleth for thee." My dear lost sin-sick soul tonight, the Lord calls for you. This gospel message is a call for you. When Jesus stood still, I want you to notice, secondly, what made Jesus stand still. When we come to the scriptures, it's very interesting to see the things that did stand still. You ever think of that? The waves of the Red Sea, they stood still. The waters of the River Jordan also stood and rose up upon a heap for the benefit of God's people and to allow them to pass over that river when it was in flood. The sun and the moon stood still at the prayer of the cry of Joshua, and the hosts of Israel were then able to prolong their victory against the enemies of the Lord. But we might well say tonight, what are the waters of the sea? Or what are the lights of the sky when compared to Him, the Christ of God, who fixed the planets in their orbit and who fills all space today with His eternal presence? And yet He stood still when that crisis, the greatest in all the world's history, was fast approaching. For He, the Messiah, was to be cut off. He was to make an end of sin by the sacrifice of Himself and to bring everlasting righteousness. And all this in answer to Bartimaeus' earnest cries, the prayer of a poor blind beggar, "Stop, Christ." He stopped to restore sight to the blinded eyes. I believe to impart life to his dead soul. For men and women, the prayer of the penitent has power that the divine mercy never resists. It was the call of Bartimaeus. And let me say tonight, I don't want you thinking for one moment it was the call of someone special. I don't want you thinking, "Oh, that's fine, you know, for Bartimaeus, there was something special about him." No, there certainly wasn't. And let me describe him for you tonight, the character who called. Because we have the most somber of descriptions of this man in verse 46. A description that can speak of each and every ungodly person within the sound of my voice this evening. Notice he's spoken of as Bartimaeus. It means the son of Timaeus. Did you know the word Timaeus literally means the son of the unclean or the son of the polluted? In other words, Bartimaeus was one like each and every one of us who inherited the uncleanness and the pollution of the former generation. That is the truth that the psalmist penned when he said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." Remember the question 16 in the shorter catechism. Some of the boys and girls, I'm sure, will recall it. And the answer that's given there, the covenant being made with Adam, not only for himself, but for his posterity, all mankind descending from him by ordinary generation, sinned in him and fell with him in his first transgression. Think with me tonight of a tree. Think with me tonight as Adam as the trunk of that tree, and all the generations of men as the branches that flow from that trunk. And you get the picture of what happened that day that Adam rebelled against God in the garden and sinned against his Creator. And not only did the trunk fall, but every generation fell also. And here's Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, and he describes each and every one of us tonight. We are the son of the unclean. We are the son of the polluted. I want you to notice something else here. Verse 46 further describes him as blind. He's blind, Bartimaeus. In fact, in verse 49 and verse 51, he is described as the blind man. And the sinner tonight is blind. Blind to spiritual knowledge. And by reason of this blindness, dear unsaved one, you lack true guidance. Just as Bartimaeus needed others to guide, but I wonder tonight, are your guides those that are leading you deeper into sin? The God of this world, the apostle wrote, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He was polluted, he was blind. Verse 46, he was a beggar. He was a beggar. And I surely don't need to remind you tonight of the poverty that sin will bring a man or a woman or a young person to. There are people tonight in our kingdom who fritter away their money, their hard-earned money, on the drugs of this age. Hundreds and thousands of pounds. Sin is making them a beggar. But let me remind you tonight of the eternity. To be lost without Christ, to be lost without hope, to not even have a drop of water in the eternal hell that awaits those that live and die without the Savior. Oh, what beggarliness there is for the lost who dies condemned in Christ. Without Christ. But I want you to notice too, he was a citizen of the city of the curse, that is Jericho. For you recall how we read in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 20, that cursed be the man before the Lord that rises up and buildeth this city Jericho. And here was a man who was in the city of the curse. Let me tell you tonight, if you're unsaved, you're condemned already. If you could but really see your state before God, you would see that the wrath of God already abides upon you, just like a cloud waiting to drop its shower of judgment upon you. Here's the person who called, the character who called. I want you to notice the content of his call. And I want you to notice especially the comparison that there is here between the description of the Lord Jesus Christ by the people and Bartimaeus. There's quite a difference. Bartimaeus had a fuller, truer knowledge who Christ was and of his need of him. In verse 47, he cries out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Bartimaeus knew that the Lord Jesus Christ was the Messiah. Oh, I believe he knew the scriptures. And I believe it was that knowledge of the truth of God from Isaiah 42 that reminded him that there was coming one, the Messiah, who would open the blinded eyes. When he calls him Jesus, of course, he's calling him Savior. When he cries out, "Have mercy upon me," he's acknowledging that mercy is God's to give. Did you ever think of it that way? I know so often we think that God is merciful, and how true that is. But part of me has realized that mercy was God's to give. That is why you cannot get saved at a moment of your choosing. It's when he calls you. It's when he speaks to you. That is the accepted time. That is the day of salvation. That is the time when the Lord is offering mercy and grace and pardon to your soul. And Bartimaeus knew that. I want you to notice, he cries out, "Have mercy on me." For Bartimaeus did something that every lost one tonight in this building, or even watching me at a distance somewhere perhaps otherwise in the world. Let me tell you, you need to acknowledge your sin before God. Bartimaeus did it. And he acknowledged that only Christ could cleanse and forgive him for his sin. The content of his call, the character who called. Did you notice the constancy of his call? In verse 48, they charged him to hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. You see, men and women, it is so true in Bartimaeus' case, and it could be true in yours also tonight, that this was his one opportunity. His one opportunity to meet with Christ, to know the touch of Christ, to be changed by Christ. Because we're seeing here in verse 46, it was as Christ went out of Jericho. And I wonder tonight, am I speaking to a soul, either in the building here or over Facebook or sermon audio? And tonight is God's final call to you. We're not trying to bring fear to your soul. We are bringing the reality of what can happen to a man or woman who sits under the gospel and rejects that call of grace and of mercy. Tonight could be God's final call to you in mercy. And tonight your soul could be launched out into eternity. Fanny Crosby often visited the prisons of her locality. On those visits, she would speak of her Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and she would sing her hymns. As she concluded one such visit, she heard a prisoner to cry out, and I quote very, very reverently, I quote, "Good Lord, do not pass me by," end of quote. That evening, she went back to her home. And she penned those lovely words that we sang a little earlier. "Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by." But I can say tonight, the greatest light in this all is not just the character of the man who called and the constancy of his call and the content of his call. But what about the compassion of the Savior? That's what made the Lord Jesus stand still. I believe it's the same incident that is recorded in Matthew 20 and verse 34. Even though there's mention there of two blind men. But we read in that verse, "So Jesus had compassion on them." And tonight I want to tell you, one who is all love and compassion, one who has no desire, dear sinner, in your death, but that you turn and live. He had compassion upon the multitude when he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. He's the one who stood and looked over Jerusalem that rejected the prophets and killed those that were sent to him, and were told how that he wept over that city because of its sin. Oh, the compassion and the grace and the mercy of the Savior. And it was his compassion this day that caused him to stand still. Let me finish tonight by showing you why Jesus stood still. There are three accounts of this incident in three different Gospels. You know, in the main, they're very much the same, but there are little differences, and those differences teach us wonderful lessons. In Matthew chapter 20, verse 32, we're told of the Lord Jesus he called. And that reminds us tonight of the sovereign call of the Lord Jesus in grace. He called. In Mark chapter 10, you'll notice it there in verse 49. We read here, he commanded him to be called. That reminds us of the ministry of men. As he go forward with the gospel. And tonight I'm coming with the gospel. I'm in God's stead as his ambassador for Jesus Christ. And I'm calling you tonight to repent from sin and to seek the Lord while he is to be found. That's what a gospel meeting is all about. Men calling. In the children's meeting. In the Sunday school. The laborer for Christ. Bringing that call of the gospel even before the heart of those who are gathered. The Lord gave the word, we read. Great was the company of those that published it. And to those of us as Christ's ambassador is committed the ministry of reconciliation, and we're employed to explain the divine call and to enforce that call and to repeat it before you each and every time we witness to you or minister to you also. The sovereign call of Christ, the ministry of men and the call. If you turn over to Luke 18 and verse 40, you'll see there he commanded him to be brought. And I believe there we have an inference to the work of the Holy Spirit. You see, you have the Holy Spirit accompanying the minister's message or the speaker's message to bring it home in power and demonstration and assurance to convince men and women and young people of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. And so in these three incidents, don't we see all the aspects of a sovereign God who calls, of men who minister the word, and of the Holy Spirit who convinces and convicts men of their need of Christ. What a wonderful picture. But why did Jesus stand still? That's the question. He stood still to receive Bartimaeus. Think of it. This man receiveth sinners. You know, tonight, if you're saying to me, I'm a sinner, I want to tell you, you are perfectly qualified to come to Christ. Perfectly qualified. And did you see how he comes to Christ in verse 50? He casts away his garment. He rises up and he comes to the Lord. In other words, he's discarding all that would hinder him. Let me ask you tonight, dear friend, what is hindering you coming to Christ? To this compassionate, loving Savior who longs to save you and who longs to bring you at last into his presence with exceeding joy. Oh, is it a friendship tonight? Is it a business partnership? Is it tonight what others in your locality would have to say if you were to change and to come to the Savior? Is it that sin that you long for as a tasty morsel under your tongue this evening? Are these the things that hinder you from coming to Christ? Take a note out of Bartimaeus's experience here, and he casts it all aside. But I want you to notice he comes in all his nakedness. He comes in all his shame to Christ. And let me tell you tonight, if you wait until you're better, you will never come at all. Just come as you are. Just come as you are. And the Lord Jesus welcomes sinners to come in all their need. I want you to notice too that he stood still not only to receive Bartimaeus but to relieve him. To relieve him. relieve him of his great need. I want you to notice and underline the words of verse 51. What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? I want you to let those words sink in, men and women. Here's the Lord of glory, and he's saying to Bartimaeus, just tell me what you need. Just tell me what you need. You see, Christ is all powerful. And there is no need that he cannot meet. And if you're thinking in your heart tonight, oh, I'm beyond this. My need is too great. Let me tell you something. The Lord Jesus would say to you tonight, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Just name the need tonight. Just tell me the burden of your heart. Just tell me what it is. How low sin has brought you. How vile sin has made you. How far from God you realize you really are. Just bring it all to this compassionate Redeemer who is able, who is all-powerful, and he is the same. He has not changed from this day when he met Bartimaeus. He is the same Christ. His power is undiminished. Let me tell you tonight, as he said to Bartimaeus, he can say to you this evening, in the words of verse 51, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Just ask. Just ask. Just tell me your spirit you'll need. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. And I want you to notice that Bartimaeus' healing was absolutely immediate and instant, men and women. For we read there, verse 52, and immediately he received his sight. And there were those signs following that Christ had changed this man. What a tremendous change. He followed Jesus in the way. Indeed, Matthew tells us that he went glorifying God. He went glorifying God. What a tremendous, tremendous change that there was following Christ and glorifying God for what he had done. Jesus stood still. He stood still on his way to the cross. Imagine that. He stood still because of the cry of a man in great need and because of his compassion for that individual. He stood still that he might change Bartimaeus. And Bartimaeus can surely tonight sing in glory. What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I trust the Lord will bless these few simple thoughts even to all our hearts tonight. And if you're unsaved and unprepared for eternity, there are those here who would be delighted to help you, to tell you more of the Savior and to point you to him who is able to change and make you a new creation, even in Christ. Let's close in a word of prayer, please. Our loving God and our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy help around the Word of God. We thank thee, Lord, for this incident and the wonderful truths we have learned of Christ. Oh, what compassion and what love and what mercy the Savior had and has for those who are in great need. We pray for those unsaved tonight, whether here or listening at a later stage or even over social media. Oh, gracious Father, we pray that thou wilt speak on. We thank thee that we can tell them of a Savior who is willing and mighty to save, of one whose blood can cleanse the vilest offender, can cleanse from all sin and make that individual perfectly clean and perfectly whole. And oh, we pray tonight for those perhaps who are in the very depths of despair this evening, and sin holds them in a mighty grip and a merciless grip. Oh God, we pray this evening that thou wilt cause them to look away to Christ and to live. Oh God, have mercy upon the lost of our homes, our family circles, of our communities, we pray thee. And grant, Lord, that we might have cause to rejoice, Lord, even this evening, of hearing of a dear lost soul coming to the Saviour. So part us with thy fear and with thy blessing. Bless every effort in the gospel that is made, especially just now. Remember, Lord, our brother Noel and our brother Colin as they labour for thee there in this special gospel effort in Monashleen. O Lord, as they, as Christ's ambassadors, encourage men and women and boys and girls to be reconciled to God, we pray that there might be a seeking of the Lord while he is to be found, and a calling upon him while he is near. So help us and bless us as we part, and take us to our homes in safety, and Lord, make us a blessing there. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.